Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel. The text is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 29. The Reverend Sean Dinser is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
How dare to say it categorically, Lutherans do not celebrate the feast of Corpus Christi. Perhaps someone might observe a feast of the body and blood of Christ. Perhaps, I think most of the music from the Middle Ages is probably still fine and good to sing. And it could even be done on this day. But it would not be the late medieval feast of Corpus Christi. And we wouldn't want to give that impression. I mean, who are we to change the use of a thing and still call it the same thing? That's true for all human things. That's at the heart of our Lutheran objection to this feast day of Corpus Christi. We agree with Rome that on account of the words of Christ, the bread is the true body of Christ. The cup is his blood. We discern the body, as Paul says, not referring to the mystical body of Christ's church, but first to the true body, which he has said the bread is. If anything, we're a little more precise than Rome on this point. Is means is. And neither do we disagree with Rome about the incarnation and its significance, important this week of Trinity. The entire person of Christ, God and man, is to be worshipped in every place, including his presence in the supper. And so it is that we sing, not facing up toward heaven, not facing toward each other, but right here, we sing to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and we implore his mercy and his peace each Sunday. We do it in faith. And we kneel at the Holy Communion, just like the Magi knelt before the infant in Mary's lap. But our objection is tied up in the use of this sacrament. What is this true body and precious blood given to us for? Because this we cannot change, whether as a matter of interest or preference or impact, or I think most especially in our day, convenience. The pastor doesn't say the body of Christ holding up the bread because Christ is in all things. He says this because Christ has instituted his supper. It's not a ritual that comes from the church, but it is a testament from Jesus himself. He has put it in place, and he has made it so, as only his divine, creative, effective word could do. But even so, much like our own human testaments also, which once they are put into effect cannot be changed, and if they are, they become null and void, or at least it is to be feared that. And thus, when the Christian congregation had fallen into disastrous carelessness and irreverence and false belief about the sacrament, Paul returned to the institution of that sacrament to correct them. He went back to Jesus' very words, not an inconvenience to repeat them. Jesus gives his body and his blood, just as he says, and for the purpose and use for which he has said it. We cannot change it, because that is the nature, even among human testaments, as Hebrews says. All the more then, because this is a divine and supernatural testament. No human being is able to change the essence of a thing by a mere declaration of its identity, although certainly some now insist that is to be believed. Well, God does it here. God, who speaks very worlds into existence, he is able to do that. We not only believe that this bread is his body, as he says, but we also go on to believe what he says is to be done with it, and for what purpose and in what manner we ought to receive it. The body and blood of Christ are present in the sacrament so that Christians may eat it and drink it in faith. They are given and shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins, as it says in the Gospels. And Jesus says, do this of the whole affair. His testament is to be proclaimed so that it may be believed, that his word may consecrate the bread and wine and make it so, that this bread is my body and this cup is my blood, and that it may be distributed to be eaten and drunk. And he instituted it then not just as a bare presence or as a holy talisman with which we might do anything we want with it, but he gave this supper to us as an action and a giving with his word. We use the word sacrament for this. Don't forget the Old Testament. Don't forget the Ark of the Covenant, God's very tangible presence. He was there in the cloud and the glory with it. All the people in the temple cry glory, as we're singing this week. But when they decided to change the use of it, when they decided to bring it out for battle to see if it would turn the tide, the Lord mocked them. They lost miserably. He went into captivity and saw to the battle himself. So we come then to the abuse of this sacrament, which is to turn either this action of the supper or his body and his blood towards some other end. And it really doesn't matter what end. There's only one true use. That's the one that Jesus gives to us from start to finish. Everything else is an abuse. We see that the Corinthians turned the Lord's Supper into a meal of prestige. And neither did they discern the body or the blood of Christ. They used this holy food for a gluttonous and a drunken feast. And as St. Paul teaches, the stakes were high for them and are high for us too. It is possible to desecrate the body and the blood of Christ, to profane it, as Paul says, by using it for some other purpose. As we saw with the ark, that doesn't really bother God nearly as much as it bothers us. As a result, it is possible then to profane, to desecrate ourselves, so to speak, if we should eat and drink his body and blood in some unworthy manner. And these include, of course, communing without faith or discernment, communing while remaining impenitent in sin, or doing it apart from a unity of a true confession, that is, doing it in an open lie or in a private deceit. Now, we object to the changing of the use of the sacrament in the Roman Church. Specifically on this day, we object to consecrating bread and wine in order to enclose it or to put it on display for worship, apart from hearing his testament in faith and apart from doing what that testament says, eating and drinking it in faith. We also object in general to changing the use of the sacrament altogether so that it becomes a sacrifice that we give to God rather than a testament, as Jesus calls it, that he gives to us. We also ought also to object to every other change in use as well, such as when many more hosts than communicants are consecrated with no intention of them being eaten, usually for our convenience. Or when the elements themselves are changed out for preference sake or for other concerns and then justified not by God's word, but by a pastor's hopeful assertion that Jesus would understand. Or when the church is not even gathered except in name only, seeing that our Lord's presence is a bodily one. Let us then hear St. Paul's admonition here, not with fear, but as a joyful invitation and as a statement of all of this that we have said today about the use. Let a person examine himself and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. What this means is we are not going to change the Lord's use and insist that it must be the same thing because we want it to be. But we will not be satisfied, just as Jesus will not be satisfied, unless we have exactly what he has given, to use it for the purposes that he has given. That his testament would be proclaimed, that his words would declare and effect just what they say, that his true body and precious blood would be distributed to those who repent and believe, who are united in their confession of the truth, and that these Christians would eat and drink it for the forgiveness of sins. God grant it always among us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.